Yeah, hello, I'm Tim Moody, President and CEO of Pan Global Resources. We're listed on the Ventures Exchange in Canada, but also on the QB in the US. So Pan Global, we have a very exciting pipeline of opportunities, including an advanced copper, tin, silver discovery, and a new discovery, which is more copper and gold, both of which are close to each other, near to other mines in the Iberian Pyrite Belt. I'll leave it there.
Tim, thank you very much for the introduction. Good to see you again. The last time we spoke, it was in person in Canada, about a month ago. And while we were there, the gold price was taking off, and it really feels as if the market has kind of slightly turned a corner, if you know what I mean. The mood in the junior sector seems to have picked up. Since then, copper, gold prices are hitting, you know, close to $2,300 an ounce, and just yesterday the copper price was up at $4.10 a pound, you know, kind of above $9,000 a ton. You have just put out a metallurgical news release about the tin metallurgy, and your share price responded very well. You know, perhaps that's not just about the tin content, although that was good. I mean, what's your feeling in the market?
Yes, look, it was a really pleasing response, and I think you're right that it's not just the news that we put out. I think that the market is now seeming to be more receptive of news, and we're seeing a much greater interest that wasn't perhaps there 6 months ago. So I think when we look at the number of views we've got on our recent news releases, we had more views of yesterday's news release than we had on the previous one, which is about copper, which is generally, you would think, more exciting than perhaps a tin news release. But even that previous copper release got more views than the previous one, which were good drill results. So I think what we're seeing is a shift. It's not just that it was good news, but we're now into a more receptive market. So hopefully we are seeing better times ahead. And that sort of aligns with what I heard yesterday in a meeting with one of the brokers who really gave us a sort of an overview, a perspective on the copper outlook. Their feeling was, well, look, the industry's, well, so investors have been perhaps more interested in the bigger company, bigger names, the existing producers with good copper assets. But that shift is starting to sort of get to the juniors now, and particularly those with advanced projects in good locations near mines. So I think that's where I think Pan Global sort of fits very well. So hopefully, in the coming months, we'll start to see a turnaround from what's been a pretty difficult 18 months.
It's been a difficult 18 months. I mean, just look at the share prices. So you had a good response yesterday, but of course, it's good that people are coming back in, that brokers are getting calls about the junior sector, but there's a huge, we've got all that history of kind of share price falls to kind of undo and kind of to redo the good work. I mean, I think your share price 2 years ago was up at 80 cents, and yesterday it recovered whatever it was, 10% to 20 cents. So, you know, onwards and upwards. It has been a difficult time, but thank goodness there are eyeballs coming back into the sector. Let's have a look at the metallurgy, because as you just pointed out, the previous news release kind of 4 or 5 weeks ago was about copper metallurgy. This one is specifically about the tin, which is in your La Romana project, the kind of the southern of the two, Caña Honda, which is the gold, copper is the kind of the slightly more of the more northern exploration target. And so it's tin metallurgy results from La Romana. 63% in the concentrate and 58% recovery. Can you put some flesh on the bones on that, please?
Yeah, for sure. Of course, metallurgy news releases are not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, because not everyone sort of understands necessarily the significance of metallurgy. But that's where the money's made, and I think that those tin results were and I put it in the quote, above expectations. I'll give you some context. Generally called a sort of cassiterite sulfide family of deposits, tin deposits, which makes up the vast majority of the world's primary tin source. Those typically grade from as primary tin deposit from 0.2 to about 1.4% tin, where tin's the primary product. Recoveries for those range from about 30 to 60%. So that puts us right in the upper end of the range for fairly modest, 0.25% or thereabouts tin. And it's our second product, not the sort of main product, copper being the main product. So we're achieving top of the range recoveries. And then you add to that those concentrate grades. I mean, most new tin projects these days are producing getting concentrate grades 50 to 55%. So getting 60% plus, which is what Alphamin produce, which is probably the world's best tin mine currently, getting above 60% puts you in that premium range. So 60% plus 60% is, combined with those recoveries, both as exceptional.
The from the work that I've done on tin, one of the key things about the economics of a tin deposit is the recovery aspect of it. So you can have a very low tin grade, but if the cassiterite is relatively coarse and it liberates easily and it can be recovered easily, it can be an economic resource. Equally, if you've got a much higher tin grade, you can still be uneconomic if the metallurgy is unfavorable and if the tin doesn't sit in cassiterite but sits in stannite or other minerals or things like that. The tin recovery that you're talking about, that comes, or it's almost kind of a follow-on from the copper recovery. So it doesn't impact the copper recoveries. Correct.
Not at all. So I think just to follow on what you were saying about tin economics, I mean, yes, you can get sometimes much higher recoveries on where you've got, a cassiterite vein deposit or something like that, where there's low sulfides, coarse grain cassiterite with no stannite, you can get some very good recoveries. But more typically, getting recoveries of like the levels we saw around 60%, getting 60% would be very good. By and large. So, but the other thing about it is the purity of the concentrate, which is a factor. So you can produce a nice concentrate, but if you've got impurities in there, then that can affect the price. But the other thing is the simplicity, or the opposite of that, in terms of the flow sheet, the processing flow sheet. So, that's where it can become very costly if you have to do lots and lots of steps and lots of, really work hard to get the concentrate grades or recoveries that you need. So fortunately, we were able to achieve those results on a very standard, very simple flow sheet.
Just for our viewers, cassiterite is a tin oxide. And stannite is a copper iron tin sulfide. And cassiterite is kind of a dark mineral that's quite it's not friable. It's got strong bonds, so it doesn't break up very easily. Now, in your test results, so that was a kind of an aside, that was a background. In your test results, you talk about gravity separation of the tailings. The ore comes in. Let's call it ore. The sulfide and the copper gets taken off, and then the tailings that are left from that go through, and you do a gravity separation process. And does that means you're doing a gravity separation process on whatever it is, 99% of the volume of the rock?
That's right. So, which again is, this is not an uncommon process. So what you're using is the different physical properties of the copper minerals versus the tin minerals. So yeah. The copper sulfides that we try and produce a concentrate from, the chalcopyrite, chalcocite, etc., have a different specific gravity versus the tin oxide, the cassiterite. Fortunately, we have nearly 100% cassiterite. We don't have the stannite, which means the tin we're getting, we were able to get just about a high proportion of that off that tin because it is cassiterite rather than stannite. So that's the first thing. So, but in terms of the flow sheet, so it's not an uncommon process to float off and maximise your recovery of copper through flotation. So hence our flow sheet does that. The copper, so you do your first coarse grind, you do a rough separation, your copper through flotation, and your copper and sulfides go into the copper circuit. And then what you're left behind with, which includes the heavy cassiterite, is what you then work on for the tin flow sheet.
And is the grind size for the copper flotation similar to the grind size that you need for the tin, or is it too early to say that?
No, we've done all of that work. We've done the grinding test. So what we could see was there were the maximum liberation, in fact, very high liberation, was in the sort of fraction between 53 microns to plus 10. So minus 53 to plus 10 microns. And then we also had quite good liberation above in the next size range from 53 to 106 microns. So, what we found with the copper was in that same 106 micron down below was where we had the best copper recoveries as well. So that's quite convenient for us.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a huge difference if you can just kind of optimize for one grind size.
That's it, yeah. So it's a very, it all seems to fit quite well. So what we saw with that first stage of the flow sheet was very good segregation of the copper sulfides from the tin minerals and the tailings. So that got us off to a good start. So we saw about 90% of the copper was going into your concentrate and about 90% of the tin was going into the tails, which is great.
It's a kind of a nice tick to have at this stage. How does it inform your exploration or the kind of the medium-term strategy on the project?
Well, look, our estimates of the tin content at Laramone is sort of between 15 and 20% on the in-situ value. So this is just now telling us, well, it's not only that it's an in-situ value, this is something that could materially impact the economics of the deposit. So it's important as a commodity on its own right. So we should look even more at our drill spacing targeting some of the higher tin as well. But at this stage, it's more confirmation that we have two good concentrates here, both in the upper end of the range, which you might expect for this type of mineralization.
Exploration continues. You've got drilling at La Romana. Remind me, are the rigs at La Romana at the moment, or are they at Caña Honda, or have you got one on both?
Yes. So we've got a drill rig at Caña Honda at the moment. We had actually intended to move it back to La Romana, but they've had a lot of rain in around this area. So we rather than sort of try and deal with moving drill rigs in muddy ground, we've moved the drill rig back to Caña Honda. So we're drilling there at the moment.
Okay. What's the drill plan for La Romana? I mean, how much? Remind me of the drill budget that you've got planned for 2024 there.
Yeah, we had about 4,500 meters of drilling planned. So we've got I think about nearly 10 holes to complete thereabouts at on Romana West, the western extension. Then we'll have at least another 7 or 8 holes to complete at Caña Honda in the current plant.
And the talk about the zonation of the tin, because I'm right in thinking that kind of you're drilling to the west and that's a kind of more tin rich part of La Romana.
Yeah, so there is a very clear metal zonation. And incidentally, you see the same thing at Neves-Corvo. There's a very clear demarcation or zonation of the metal. So what we've got in the far east of La Romana is more sort of zinc, lead zinc, and then quite sharply goes into copper only. And then as we move further to the west, we go into copper and tin. In some places, tin is the dominant component of the of those intersections. So that's where we're at the moment. The west extension is still open, still got copper and tin mineralisation.
And the anomaly, how much further have you got on that anomaly have you got to go?
Well, I think we can see potential for it to grow at least another, maybe up to another 300 or 400 metres. So, and then we have another target a bit further to the west of that and another one to the north. So we have satellite targets beyond that. So, yeah, we've still got a bit of a way to go yet before we think we've found the end of it. And that it, as I say, we may have some satellite targets as well. Just we do have satellite targets.
And you've also been trying to get access to the Bravo target to the east.
Yes.
Is that a mag anomaly? You know, is there any indication on that, that that's a kind of a, what kind of system that is, or you haven't got on the ground yet?
Yeah, we have been able to get on the ground on that target at the moment. So we're still, things are moving through the process of getting the access. We will get access to that. From the information we've got, it looks like it's a big gravity anomaly, a very prominent gravity anomaly. It looks to be on trend from La Romana. And we've also got, because we flew the area with helicopter electromagnetics and magnetics as well, that we've got a helicopter EM, low resistivity anomaly on the southern margin of that gravity target. So both of those, there's two indicators there that are very positive for us. There was some old Exxon IP data as well, which shows an anomaly on that southern edge. So given that La Romana, all the geology dips to the north, that's the same situation we have at Bravo, where we've got the geology dipping to the north. We've got our conductors and so on sitting on the southern edge of that, which is where you'd want to see it.
And what you're hoping is that those conductors are sulfides.
That's what we're hoping, yeah. It's a very similar juxtaposition. Things line up the same as they do at La Romana. But, of course, it's geophysics. There's nothing sticking out of the ground there. And we haven't been in the ground there yet either. So you never know with geophysics, but the geology's right. The geophysics lines up. We can't wait to get access to that one.
Yeah, and there's also that kind of that temptation about those gravity anomalies on the Iberian Pirate Belt, because, I mean, Nevis Corvo, you mentioned Las Cruces. I think there was another couple that were kind of...
There's a number that have been discovered by directly drilling gravity anomalies. So gravity targets in the Iberian Pirate Belt are pretty good news. It's not a silver bullet all the time, but it's a very good start.
Good. So you've got about 17, 18 extra holes, or kind of more holes coming. Presumably, drilling news is the kind of the bread and butter of your news flow over the next few months. Just remind me and the viewers, please, of your cash position.
So we'll have the next quarterly report, I guess, won't be too far away in terms of the cash position. But, we're probably around 5 million in the bank, thereabouts, 4.5, 5 million, something like that. So we're in great shape. We're actually under budget at the moment. So, as you might recall, our plan for this year, our budget will take us through to next year. So we're in good shape financially.
What would it take for you to just kind of say, we're going to accelerate, we're going to get more drill rigs, we're going to go for it? You know, would you have to kind of have a material news flow or change in the market? You know, what are the catalysts for you to kind of get even more revved up?
Yeah, well, I think like many companies, we've been cautious and with our spending rate. Given the way the market's been, there's not been any reward for good news. It's been very hard work to get any traction over the last 18 months. So I think if we start to see the market really respond to news positively, we start to see the share price moving back and in the right direction, then that would incentivize us to want to go harder. Of course, we'd like to do that. To go faster, we'd like to go back to having two or three drill rigs and so on. We've got no shortage of drill targets, no shortage of places to put drill rigs. So, it's really a case at the moment just managing the cash and giving the market a chance to to start to or turn around and respond and receive the response to news.
Good. Well, keep going. When's the next kind of scheduled news release? I mean, are you putting out news releases, your kind of drill results when they come, or are you aiming to do it every couple of months? You know, what's your internal plan?
Yeah, we put the news out when we get the news generally. So the metallurgy results, you know, we've got the news. It's, you know, it takes a little while just to interpret that and put the news out. As soon as it's in shape to be presented, we put it out. So the same with the drill results. Sometimes we do it as batches. It really depends. It looks like there's going to be a gap, you know, a significant gap between the next batch of drill results, and we might we'll put out whatever we've got. So we've got some results for about three new holes. In fact, we got the final results at the end of last week, so we're drafting a news release with another three drill holes to report. Hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we should have the next news out.
Good. Look forward to it. Tim, thank you so much. Thanks for the update. Really good to hear your progress.
Now, from thanks, Hugh. If I could just leave you with one thing, just to sort of emphasise those 10 results were very good for us. That you know, we've now got shown that we've got two concentrates, yeah, which really are at the upper end of the range for that style of mineralisation. And in the context of the Iberian Pyrite Belt, the copper concentrates and companies are very good. No deleterious minerals, etc. And now we've got the tin as well. Getting those results, you know, those were really exceptional for us. It really does two things. De-risks the project for us, but it's going to enhance the value for us. I think I didn't close off on one of your questions as well, is that those results are also adequate now for us for a NI 43-101. Yeah, it sets us up for a pre-feasibility study. Yeah, the metallurgy studies that we've done at this stage are sufficiently advanced for that.
There we go. Of course, more questions. Because, you know, at this stage, you won't know that is a representative tin sample because you've got more exploration to do. You know, not necessarily. It might be, but it might not be. You might need to go back and or do more test work on a range of subject or a range of samples, particularly if you've got different tin characteristics in areas that you haven't explored yet.
Yeah, well, we're not really seeing any difference in, you know, at least from the observations of the tin mineralisation. Looks pretty consistent across the area. It's just the grade difference varies. So we're not expecting any surprises there. We've not seen any stannite, for example, ever at the projects.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the... Yeah, there might be some variability, but at least the metallurgists are saying, look, this is the test work we've done so far is sufficient for us to move forward to start to do some preliminary costing, preliminary project design, yeah, scoping, all of that sort of work. So, yes, we'll probably do some more work. I think our ideal next step for the tin would be a pilot plant. That would be a better test. But we will look to do some more test work. Perhaps we'll have some further discussion with the groups that are doing the work for us on the metallurgy, just to perhaps seek some further verification, like, say, perhaps sample some other parts of the deposit. Of course, it's still open to the west. We don't have any copper metallurgy on these, so the western extension of La Romana. So, you know, if we do some more copper metallurgy out in that direction, then I think we take the opportunity to do some more tin as well.
I mean, if it's all cassiterite, I think the next key variable really is grain size. And, you know, if you keep doing your petrographic studies and size fraction analysis, and that, then I think you can kind of rely or kind of draw on those metallurgical results. But, you know, if there's a material finding of the mineralization to the west, for example, it might change your interpretation.
Yeah.
Or indeed coarsening. Yeah. Let's be positive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've not seen any variation at this stage, that's a lot to say. And of course, we do get a look at the tin when we do the copper metallurgy as well. So the copper variability tests, although it was focused very much on the copper, yeah, we did have, they did do a mineralogical analysis of the material for the copper variability test. So we do have a broader look at the mineralisation And there's that, which is, I guess, partly guiding the conclusion that the metallurgists have come up with, that yeah, what we've done so far is sufficient for the tin at this stage of the prompted.
When you talk, and sorry, I've got loads of, I can talk about this forever, but you know, when you talk about deleterious elements in other tin concentrates, is that inclusions, impurities in the cassiterite, or is it interlocks and other materials coming into the concentrate that can't be separated?
Yeah, well, in terms of liberation characteristics, it can be mineral aggregates. So is it, is it bound with other things, and how freely does it liberate from there for the other materials? Yeah, fortunately, it's not all locked up in chalcopyrite or anything like that, so it does liberate more.
Yeah.
Fine mineral aggregates is the main thing. In terms of impurities, we haven't done the detailed chemistry and mineral analysis on the cassiterite itself, on the concentrate. We've got that's work to be done, but we're not expecting any, and we're certainly not seeing any indications that we will have any sort of nasty surprises there with that concentrate grades. There's some iron. We've got the iron and sulfur analysis. The sulfur's low. The iron, we'll probably, I think it was 12 to 14% or something like that. So, yeah, you get some, deduction from the iron, but that's a small aspect and certainly normal.
Good. Well, thank you for that. And we got a little appendix to the end of the interview. But Tim, nice talking to you as ever.
Yeah, I just thought I should have closed off on part of your question earlier on that we never quite got to. But I thought it was important just to mention that. Yeah, they were really good news. Obviously, we're pretty chuffed about it. So.